This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're having a conversation off air. We'll have the conversation on air. Matthew Collar's with us. We just were talking TV because I was telling him I'm touting the show I mentioned on the show a couple days ago. It's on Amazon, Patriot. And as I was telling Matthew, you've got a dad who's got government involvement himself. He's got two sons. His one son is a very interesting operative. He's also a folk singer. And then you got the brother who has to be quiet about parts of his life as a congressman. You were just telling me you're watching Schitt's Creek. I'm going to say for me, I really, really like Schitt's Creek. I don't know if I love Schitt's Creek. I mean, to me, it's like 8+. It's a show that I can watch, Matthew. We can crank through two of them, take a break for a week, watch one, you know, but it's, and now it's just been lauded so much. So you were talking about Patriot here and the setup of shows. Keep going on that idea.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, a lot of times the setup is the kind of the best part of it. And then you get through the first couple episodes, you're like, wow, I'm all in on this. And then it just doesn't have places to go. What was the Kevin Spacey one that everybody liked? I felt the same way about that after like the first season of it. What was the show? It was really big. I forget the name. House of Cards. It was like the first season, the whole setup, everything else. But then once it settled in, you're like, I'm kind of, you know. And so I always worry about that when diving full into a show. What I like about Schitt's Creek is exactly what you said, where you can jump in, do two episodes, laugh a little, kind of enjoy the characters, move on. It doesn't feel like I have to invest my entire heart and soul and life into the show, where if we have go away from it for a week or whatever, we don't feel like we're disappearing. Just pop back in, enjoy it, move along. Episodic shows like that are always good. The Office is kind of like this. Episode from season 4 is on TV. We'll sit here and watch it and don't feel like we've got to invest a lot.
House of Cards for me, and it's been out too long, so spoiler alert's coming. First season was fantastic. When Spacey kills the gal in the first episode of the second season, that was it.
You and me are on the same page. I was out at that moment.
After that, and it just should have been better. We need to have a longer conversation about The Office because I love the British version. I think the one here is just okay. Okay. All right. Let's get to two items in sports. Because I was just talking to Zach Parise before he came on board. And, I mean, would you say hockey is your first love?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, like growing up, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, where, I mean, it's very similar to Minnesota. People are obsessed with hockey. So that was right around the time that Doug Flutie was the Bills quarterback and the Flutie Flakes, and he was kind of taking over. And Dominic Hasek was the Sabres goalie. So that those two sports, I would say, definitely a rise above the rest. Yeah.
So as we were talking before, Dean Evason and Bill Guerin, you know, Bill Guerin's involved in this, said today to Zach Parise, to not just Never's guy, Zach Parise, we're sitting out tonight. And I was wondering this, which sport most quickly holds your elite players most accountable? I think in basketball, they get so much leeway. I think in baseball, they get a fair amount of leeway. To me, it's either football or hockey. And I thought maybe hockey more. What do you think about that?
I think hockey more too. The only comparison really for a star player being sat down would be a quarterback getting benched. And what's the standard for a quarterback getting benched? The Vikings quarterback led the league in interceptions and was 1-5 at one point. And they said, well, look, the guy's got a really big contract. We know he's better than this also. And I would say the same thing for Zach Parise. We know he's better than this. But the luxury in hockey is that you have 82 games or whatever number of games they're playing now with COVID. But you could say, how about you just take a break, take a step back, look at the game from a different angle, and then get back in. And sometimes that can help those guys. I don't know how many times it's ever helped a quarterback to be benched, and everything else you rarely see. I mean, think about how many times offensive linemen could have been benched for the Vikings in the last 3 or 4 years. They'll just plow right through with those guys. So you don't see it with other positions very often. Like, you don't see a guy have a bad couple of plays and then they pull him out for the rest of the game, but they do that in hockey all the time. It's like part of the culture of getting yanked or sat down for a period or something like that. It is fascinating because you don't see it for any other sport. If you did it to a star NBA player, the guy would demand a trade.
Exactly. And we get 40 games of almost ineptitude before they do it. So let's talk to you about football. Purple Insider, it is a must. The stories, the mailbags, the podcast. I really encourage people to check it out. The Kyle Rudolph move was probably maybe the most given of all the veterans. And Kyle Rudolph, by all accounts, is a 10 as a human being, lives up to the hype as a person, all the charity work, the right teammate. He's going to leave a very good legacy here. What do you think? Where will they miss him? You know, because it's kind of funny. A lot of his career, and you know this better than me, he was viewed as a so-so blocker at best, but he was this dependable guy. Well, then the last couple of years, they used him more as a blocker and the occasional, more than the occasional, but inside the 20 guy. What do you think about just how they used him late and how it affects the Vikings, and what's Rudolph's future?
I definitely think that the biggest part of his game that they'll miss is just the fact that when you threw it to Kyle Rudolph, you know you were getting a completion. Over the last 3 years, Kirk Cousins throwing to Kyle Rudolph had over an 80% completion percentage. And as you mentioned, when it came to the red zone, this last year we didn't see this so much. It seemed like Adam Thielen was more of the guy, but he still, over the last 3 years, had 11 touchdowns from Kirk Cousins. And when it got down to the biggest moment of Kirk Cousins' career as a Viking, who did he target in the red zone? It was Kyle Rudolph throwing it up and him against a cornerback. There are not too many NFL defenders who are big enough to cover Kyle Rudolph. And I always wondered, actually, over the last couple of years, why Kirk Cousins didn't trust him more in other parts of the field. And I thought they left a lot on the table. Sorry, say that again.
I said, so did Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, well, right. And I think that he was justified. Now, I'm not sure that I would have said it out loud like he did before leaving, but maybe he needed to get that off of his chest that, like, look, it wasn't me, guys. I just got phased out of the offense. But I think it's sort of fundamental to who Kirk Cousins is that if you're not really open, he's not going to throw you the ball. And Rudolph was never a guy who was wide open. He's not fast enough, but he would be going against a linebacker who's 6'3", and he's 6'5", or 6'6", and he's got a wingspan just that like should belong to a large bird. And so you could throw it anywhere. And he had one drop over the last 3 years. One. I mean, so, you know, I think he's still got a lot in the tank. I didn't see a guy falling off in who he is. I just saw somebody who's quarterback never seemed to really gel with him, and maybe an offense that leans so heavily toward the run that a lot of people end up feeling like they didn't get enough passes.
Okay, Spielman talks in the last hour. He normally talks a lot and says nothing. Did he live up to that? And then what's going to happen next? Because they still have to make a lot of moves to have any pliability, any flexibility with the cap.
Yeah, well, I have become a professional Spielman read between the liner, so I'll try here. Last year, I asked him directly, hey, has Stephon Diggs asked for a trade? And he just said, no. And I was like, okay, so yes. But it was interesting today that he seemed to have sort of prepared in his mind exactly what he was going to say about Kirk Cousins, where he said, he's our quarterback, that sort of classic line, he's our quarterback, and that kind of thing. And he said, I think Mike Zimmer put that all to bed after the season in another interview he did when he said, you know, Kirk's not going anywhere. But then later, when we talked to him in a little side session with reporters, he said, well, you're always looking at all of your options. And there is more chatter out there than there's ever been before with quarterbacks. So you went like, okay, so is this issue resolved or is it not entirely resolved? I think that Kirk Cousins is your quarterback until somebody offers you something better. So that's at the top of the list. The other thing is, he said, look, we're going to have to get creative with the salary cap situation. It's not good. I mean, he was not hiding from the fact that they're over the cap. Guys like Anthony Barr, Riley Reiff, they're set to make too much money and they might have to make moves there. I did come away feeling like it is possible that Anthony Barr might not be here. I know that they've praised him a lot, but they recognize he's making too much money on the salary cap for next year. And I think that's really the biggest story of this. And the other notable thing that he mentioned was just that this year, a lot of free agents might be willing to take cheaper one-year deals to hit free agency next year after they have the 17-game season, which is likely, fans back in the stands, which appears likely if Joe Biden's telling us the truth about the vaccine, and you know, getting everything back to normal with their revenue, plus a new TV deal. And that actually is intriguing, I think, to the Vikings. If you're looking for somebody who might join you for a year just to try and pump up their stats, I mean, the Vikings might be a place that tries to look for those types of deals for guys who want to get their paychecks later.
Matthew Collar's with us. Must read, must listen, Purple Insider. I got 2 minutes. I consume you, and I've heard you talking about the wide receiver idea with the first round pick with just studs all over the place. I personally would like it, but with Mike Zimmer running this team, isn't it a non-starter? I mean, he should adapt to modern offense. He's got a quarterback and can do it. But are there really any signs he's going to change next year?
Yeah, my thing is with the wide receiver part, you could look at it and say, yeah, you've got Adam Thielen, you've got Justin Jefferson, you're good, you're set to go. But I think a lot of the best teams usually have 3 receivers or more. And then there's the question of what if somebody tweaks an ankle and then your next guy up is Chad Beebe. But the bigger picture part of this is exactly what you said. If you look at the teams that were playing on championship weekend, they're all the best passing offenses. And you have a head coach who wants to have a run first philosophy, which can work. But when push comes to shove and you've got 3rd down and 8 or 3rd down and 12 or something, and you need a big play, teams are going to focus their coverages on your top guys. And the more playmakers you can have, the better chance you have. And I just look at it as, why don't you lean into your strength instead of trying to fill up all of your weakness? So I think there is a case for that. But I agree that a lot of these things we talk about come back to, but would the head coach really allow it? And the answer is probably not.
Well, what intrigued me is, I agree, I'd rather have 3 really good ones. But if one of the studs dropped to 14, could you get a 2nd-round draft choice for Thielen?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. But the thing is about this draft class, there are so many great wide receivers in the draft class, and they're cheap. I mean, this is, I think it's going to be, when trying to get more picks, as I'm sure the Vikings will, I think it'll be a little bit of prying them out of cold, dead hands of other GMs, because they need cheap players who can step in this year with all the cap issues.
Very good stuff as always. We need to see Nora, your dog, next time. Okay. That's a guarantee.
I will make sure of that. I guarantee she's on the couch and not giving up the couch.
We'll get to that story another time. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
Truly a must listen and read if you care about the Vikings. And about 900 million people living in the state of Minnesota care about the Vikings. Purple Insider with Mr. Caller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.